This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, it's Mark Teixeira. The Michael K. Show starts now. Here's Michael, Don, and Peter on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. Hope you're all having a great day. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg with you. Now, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. I'll tell you what, the other 19 and a half, they're certainly your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's having a joyous day. I feel good about life. Hope you do as well. Peter, you look happy.
I'm chipper.
You sure?
Wait, do I look sad?
A little bit. Don, how about you?
I'm fantastic. It's a beautiful day outside. Got a lot accomplished today.
Really?
Yeah. My niece is staying over, and my nephew's over.
Don's bed and breakfast.
Well,
Donnie's daycare.
Fun. Yeah, Donnie daycare.
Well, you might think that, but believe it or not, on August 18th, Abby is going to turn 18. So.
Wow. Well, she should be running the daycare.
It's pretty scary. Yeah, we're going to put her to work when she gets here. But, yeah, it's hard to believe anybody that goes back with the show any length of time will remember little Abby speaking into the microphone, coming in with my brother, and now she's going to be 18.
Wow. Amazing. Now, we do want to remind everybody it's the final day of 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Now, later in the 2 p.m. hour, that's this one, and again in the 5 p.m. hour, be listening for the cue to call. Be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. Like yesterday's winners, Barbara Caulfield from Coram, New York, and Jason Smith from Janesburg, New Jersey, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. So one a little bit later from now, and then one in the 5 o'clock hour. But we start the show today with the MLB report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Here we go. Yesterday was the first day that you realized how ridiculous the sticky stuff checking is. It got to the point of high parity. There are several things I want to go over with it. I'm sure Don and Peter have strong opinions as well. But when you see Sergio Romo of the A's pull his pants down without provocation, I mean, stuff that Don did in high school, without provocation, what are we doing? We're making a farce out of everything. There's got to be a step in at some point where both sides work together and say, this is not the way to do it. This is ridiculous. This makes us look like asses. It really does. Now, in the Yankee game, think about this, okay? Jonathan Loaisiga has been great all year, and he finally has a terrible outing. He gives up 4 runs in the eighth inning, a game that the Yankees end up losing 6-5. By the way, a terrible loss. We'll get into that later. He's coming out the field after being relieved. He gets only 2 outs in the inning, and they check his glove and his hat. He just stunk. Even if he had the stuff, who cares? He was just terrible. Isn't there any wisdom or common sense that's put into this? And then Gerrit Cole's not checked in the first inning. He's looking around and pausing, not checked. Then he finally gets checked in the second inning. It's a joke.
No,
and look, did you see the way they're checking it, Don? They're squeezing the edge of the glove, and they're looking at the hat. There's plenty of other places it could be hidden. It's a joke. Major League Baseball looks like a rinky-dink minor league operation doing things like this. It's making a mockery of the sport, mockery.
It's a joke. And if you looked at social media, everybody's right now laughing at Rob Manfred, laughing at him. Is that what you want? Is that what you want baseball to be, a laughing stock? Because that's what it is. It's right now a joke. And you could say, well, Romo and Scherzer overreacted. No, you got to read into their body language. Now, you had mentioned something last week, Michael, that maybe the fact that Donaldson wanted something done shows you that maybe there is a divide within the Players Association. But when you see the way the pitchers are reacting, they're going to get support from their teammates. This is going to end up galvanizing the Players Association against Rob Manfred. I'm telling you. It's going to galvanize it because the players are being embarrassed. Because that's what it is. Because again, do you think everybody listens to the sports talk radio? Do you think everybody understands what's going on? They're watching a game, and all of a sudden they're seeing the players being stopped and frisked. That's what you're seeing. And you think that really looks great? That now everybody's guilty until proven innocent. In a society where it's supposed to be the opposite. So now everybody's guilty. Everybody's got to get checked. Not just the guys like DeGrom the other day, who retires the side 1-2-3 and 7 of his 8 pitches are over 100 miles per hour. They're checking a guy that just gave up 4 runs, the worst outing of his season?
I guess the thing that I'm confused about also is, so are they just presuming that these pitchers don't care at all about the idea of getting caught? That, like, right now, this week, you're going to be able to just look at their hat and check them and they're going to be caught?
It's a great point, Peter. You know what it is? It's performance theater right now. It's performance theater. They're doing it for I don't know who. They're not catching anybody. I can almost guarantee they're not catching anyone. These men are not stupid. They're not idiots. Why would they load up now? It's performance art. I don't know what the end game is. And one other thing I wanted to make very, very clear. So Romo was ticked off. Scherzer was ticked off. Man up. Sack up. You knew exactly that what was going to happen. You knew exactly. All the years of you guys doing this has finally come to the forefront. You can't be upset about it. Everybody was warned about it. The Players Association signed off on it. You have no right to get upset about it. None. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's stupid. I think it makes baseball look small. But to pitch a fit over it, what? It took you by surprise? You knew exactly what was going to happen. And well, then Joe Girardi steps in, and he really ticks off Scherzer. And then he challenges the whole Nationals team to a fight.
That was interesting, I thought. I will say that part.
I will fight you after this show.
It's not good, but it does add a bizarre sort of bit of excitement to the game. I mean, that was crazy town. Also, Michael, I mean, what's wrong with Girardi? Does all due respect, but like, does he still think he's a player? That was just crazy.
I tell you, the reason he's not here, and Yankee fans don't want it, he is wound so damn tight, and he could snap at any moment. I mean, he's like a guitar string that's ready to snap.
It's not what you want to see.
And also, this guy is in the greatest shape that you'll ever want to know. I know he's in his 50s, but I wouldn't bet against him if he wanted against Max Scherzer, who's also in great shape. He's not afraid of anybody. But my point is, I love what Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers said. A manager now could check whenever he wants. He could do it as part of gamesmanship. If a guy's pitching well, just keep checking him. Keep checking him. No. You get one check, and then if you lose that one, you lose your challenge for instant replay as well. But make him pay for it if he gets it wrong.
Yeah, because this could be baseball's version of icing the pitcher, right?
Exactly.
That's it. He's mowing us down. Let's delay the game. Let's get under his skin. Listen, Michael, do I think that Romo was immature? Do I think Scherzer was immature initially? Yeah, I get that. But I dig deeper into, rather than getting on them, it just shows you how the players feel about this. Now, you hope there was a divide because the batters are the ones that caused all this, so there'd be a divide within the Players Association. But when you see players react the way that they do, and you're already seeing Pete Alonso side with the pitchers, this could be something that galvanizes the Players Association to a point where they'll be ready to go to war when this CBA is up, because they're being publicly embarrassed. Now I don't know the level of – listen, they may all have been using the stuff, but we don't know the level in which it was used illegally to where it was cheating. Like, maybe there were pitchers, like Al Leiter said, that was legitimately trying to get a better grip so they didn't hit somebody. And maybe there was a select few that took advantage of it. Maybe they all took advantage of it. We don't know. That's why you have investigations. That's why you look into things. You don't make a public spectacle in the middle of a season where there's a lot of great things happening for baseball that could sell the sport. But instead of talking about that, we're talking about this. Baseball is so good at the self-inflicted wound.
Oh, they're great at it. That's their specialty. Let's shoot ourselves in the foot, see how it goes.
Right. It's like an episode of MASH. The guy trying to get out of the war shoots himself in the foot.
We're they're probably happy they're getting publicity. We're talking about it. This is not the kind of conversation you want about the sport. It's a laughing stock right now. It's a laughing stock what happened last night. Laughing stock.
And I know you get upset, Michael, because I'm so critical of Manfred sometimes, but it falls on his shoulders. And you're making the guy that's running your sport into a joke. That's what he – because it all falls onto him. So it goes back to not being able to do anything about the cheaters. Just think about how – you talk about optics. Think about how this looks. Couldn't do anything to the Astros. None of the players. They might have stolen two championships. Can't touch the players. But now, in the middle of a season, you're frisking down pitchers in the middle of a game. So how does that work?
And they're frisking pitchers, and they're not going to find anything. And you could see the umpire's heart wasn't in it either.
Now, I don't blame the umpires. They're just doing their job.
Right. And then, you know, Ryan Hurley, our PD, just texted. He said, well, you know, Scherzer should be annoyed. He was checked three times. No. The rules are you could be checked 10 times. He knows what the rules are.
Yeah, but if you don't like the rules, but he doesn't necessarily agree with them.
Okay, but those are the rules of engagement. You're going to take the field, you have to expect to be checked. So Girardi said he kept going to his hair a lot. And I would assume that if you can't sweat and the only sweat is in your hair, you're going to go to your hair. No one is going to be caught now. No one. It's a waste of time.
It might be interesting to check in 6 weeks. But right now, that was the funniest thing. Scherzer gets checked twice earlier in the game. Girardi calls for it again. Wow, you must really think that man has cojones of steel. That after being checked twice, Scherzer decided to then load up on some sticky stuff.
I would tell you this. There's a way to do this. But they're not going to listen to me. But there's a way to do it. There are Rapsodo cameras in every single ballpark. So you have six umpires back at the Major League Review Center. All they have to do is get a pitcher's average spin rate on his fastball and his curveball. That's all, because it doesn't really work for a changeup or anything like that. His fastball and his breaking ball, slider, curveball, whatever. And if there's a spike in the spin rate over the average of what these guys throw now, you send a message to the home plate umpire, check the guy then. Check him. You're checking now and there's nothing there? How stupid do you look? How infantile do you look? Any other sport, can you even imagine any other sport doing anything like this? Can you imagine? And this is a guy talking about a sport that I adore, and they're making fools of themselves. They really are. There's no defending it, Don and Peter. It's an embarrassment to the sport.
But why can't, like you said, make it strategic, all right? Make it part of the game. If you're a manager like Joe Girardi and you believe that the pitcher is doing something wrong, then you get to challenge whether he has something. And if he doesn't have anything, you lose your challenge. Or maybe you get ejected from the game. And then you feel, because they all know, Michael, if you think they can back in Chelsea check the spin rate, so can these teams. They all know. It's all analytical. They know what's going on. They
David
can see
Cohn
what's happening.
Has it. David Cohn has a website he sees on his computer. Yeah. He was telling me, wow, a Gerrit Cole spin rate is down like 250 RPMs, which is a lot. He was seeing it in real time, so everybody else could see it in real time.
So just like hockey, where the head coach can measure the stick, right? And if it's legal, you get a penalty. If it's illegal, then that player gets a penalty. And they do it with baseball. Take the challenge away. Eject the manager. You know, whatever. Do some kind of punishment if they're wrong. But if they're right, then you find out who is cheating. You kick him out of the game. But this just three times a game, checking it out under what pretense? Well, what are you doing? Like, how do we know? Like you said, Loizaga got rocked. Why would anybody? Why would the Royals last night be suspicious? Right?
They wouldn't be.
They wouldn't be suspicious. So why has it become a thing? Like, how does it be? You know, why? Because they believe that, hey, it's just like I said, like through a DUI. You're just going to go through, and they're just going to select the fourth or fifth car, and we're going to check it out. But to do it in the middle of games three times. Listen, I understand the players knew the rules of engagement when this started, but that doesn't mean they have to be happy about it.
Now, John Boy broke it down and said that Girardi was going after Kevin Long, who was his hitting coach on the 2009 Yankees that won the World Series. Now he's the hitting coach for the Nationals. So, you know, Kevin's a great hitting coach, but I wouldn't like his chances in a fight against Girardi. I wouldn't like many people's chances in a fight against Girardi. But that's not a good look for a manager. Here's Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, the team that was facing Girardi, and he talked about Joe G.
That was his goal. He's a con artist. He got you in the con. So you believe it, and that's just the way it is. He's been doing that for years.
Wow. I mean, that's about as nasty a thing as you could say. And Mike Rizzo is a guy known as a straight shooter. He's one of the few guys that is not running an analytics lab in his front office. He doesn't play that game. And he just called Joe Girardi a con artist. Yeah. Con artist that's been doing it for years. Wow, what a shot. Because Joe said the reason he checked is that he never saw Scherzer go to his hair that much.
But if he's going to get checked, Michael, then why did Girardi ask for it? If you know he's going to get checked.
No, he already been checked twice, so Girardi's thinking he's probably not going to get checked again. I want him checked now. And again, it's gamesmanship. He's trying to distract the guy.
But you go, like, this is what, I'm sorry, it's one thing for you and I to not get it, but baseball can't afford to not get it, right? So they put this in. Nobody thought in baseball operations, well, we got to make sure we talk to the managers here because they're going to use this as gamesmanship. They're going to be asking for guys to get checked. We've got to come up with some system to stop that from happening. Like, don't you get paid very well. Shouldn't there be somebody to figure that out, to go over every single scenario so you're not sitting here, like, literally caught with your pants down like Romo? Like, what do we do? What do we do if players make a mockery of it? What do we do if a manager strategically wants to delay the game and ask somebody to be checked? You can't make up rules as you go along in the middle of a season. If you had done this all offseason, you could have crossed every T, dotted every I, and everybody would have been on the same page. But you wait 60 games into the season, and now and they're probably going to have to make a bunch of changes in midstream here. Does that make sense? These games mean something. This isn't trying this in the International League. This isn't trying this during spring training. These games mean something. That's why players are reacting the way they're reacting, Michael. I know that they get self-absorbed, but they're out there to pitch. The A's are in a pennant race. The Nationals are in a pennant race. The Phillies are in a pennant race. These games mean a lot. Jobs are literally on the line. And they don't have answers to this?
Terrible. They look rinky-dink. That's the best way I could put it. Rinky-dink.
Well, and where's Rob Manfred during all this? Where is Rob Manfred?
We put in for Rob.
Am I missing something?
We put in for Rob. He has been suspiciously quiet throughout all this. We asked him to be on the show. We've been good to him through the years, and we're not even getting a reply. So Rob Manfred should stand up and face the music. This is a guy that I have long supported. I think he has baseball's best interest at heart while trying to make the owners money. I get the rules of engagement. I do. But now talk about it. You just put this into effect. How do you feel? How did it play out yesterday? How did baseball look yesterday?
But Michael, even when this was all implemented, you're the face of the game as far as, you know, being the commissioner. Commissioner is a very, very important position, right? Everybody knows the commissioners of the four major sports. They're out there. They hand the trophy at the end of the year. So was he on MLB? You should be making the rounds, trying to explain what you're trying to do, get out in front of this. I'm sorry, man. That's on him. Like I said, I like him. I like that he's kind of forward-thinking. He's somebody that's actually thinking about what he believes is best for the game. But mistakes have been made here. You got to own them. This is embarrassing. It really is. It might end up costing him his job because you're going into now a CBA negotiation that if you don't win, you might be out of a job because the owners might can you.
Now, let me ask you this, Don, because I'm not quite clear. So Pete Alonso defended the pitchers being angry?
No. But the comments that he was making last week.
Oh, okay.
About how he agreed with how the pitchers need to have sticky stuff so that he doesn't get hit.
Now, I wonder what Josh Donaldson feels today. Is it good for the game? Josh wanted this. Charlie Blackman, is it good for the game?
Well, it'd be interesting to hear their comments, Michael, because if they reverse, well, then that means the players are unified.
By the way, I got to stop you with that because I've even said it as well. So the players are pecking at each other about this. When it comes to the CBA, they'll be fully unified. You think they're going to turn on each other because of this? If that's the owner's plan, bad plan, dumb plan, short-sighted plan, they're not going to split. You're not going to split this union. You've never split this union.
Right.
You won't split this union. This is not going to do it. Just because they don't like each other right now, they like money and they like having the power, they're not going to change a thing. So if that's the reason you're doing this, stop. You think it's a positive offshoot? It will not matter whatsoever when you guys start negotiating a deal. They're unified, you're unified, and that's why there's probably going to be a work stoppage, which is another instance of the sport shooting itself in the foot.
Because I'm sorry I keep bringing that up, but that has to be brought up because it's right around the corner.
Right.
This may be the last season before there could be a work stoppage. Do you want all this garbage going on after what happened last season with the 60-game schedule and negotiating in public when people were dying and they were worried about their money? From a PR standpoint, you start losing fans to begin with, and now you might be setting them up that they miss an entire season next year, which could very well happen. So is this the kind of momentum you want to go into what could be a foregone conclusion anyway? We should be celebrating this sport. It's a beautiful sport. It's a fun sport. Michael, we fell in love with it. We may have problems with it, but we love it. But this is embarrassing.
Well, that's the MLB report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. All right, let's give away some money. It's 98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $250 cash. Again, the number is 888-987-3776. Today is the final day to cash in, so be listening in the 5 p.m. hour for your last chance to win. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. We certainly want to take your phone calls. This is a polarizing subject. I would find it extraordinarily unusual if any of the fans out there that are listening to us actually think this is good for the game. Now, getting rid of the sticky stuff, good for the game. There were ways to do it before the season started rather than have this circus and this carnival take place in foul territory every single game. It's a joke. It's a joke. The K-Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Lots to do today, giving away money in the 5 o'clock hour, 3:30. Rick DiPietro will join us to break down today's must-win for the Islanders against Tampa Bay at the Coliseum. Will it be the final game ever played at the old barn, Nassau Coliseum? We'll talk about all of that, Yankees and the Mets as well. Another injury for the Mets, although it doesn't look that serious, as all the tests came back on Stroman, nothing serious about the hip, but we'll break it down. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
That shows you exactly what the players are doing. So the Phillies are playing the Nationals right now. Afternoon game. Nationals are trailing 5-0 in the fourth, and Max Scherzer and his teammates are screaming from the dugout to have Bryce Harper's hair checked. So they're making a mockery of it. They're making baseball look like foolish. They really are. How does baseball not see this? The players will unite, and they will always unite against the owners, and right, they will make baseball look silly. And they started last night when Sergio Romo dropped his pants.
And I don't know the value of it. You certainly don't know the value of it because we talked about it a lot last summer. But they do like to win over the public with their negotiations. They don't need it because it's not going to help them when they go into their negotiations, but both sides like to negotiate in public. They like to win over people to their side. So that's why the players are doing it. I don't know how it helps when you sit at the table and negotiate how many fans are for the players and how many are for the owners, but they do seem to care.
All right, let's go to the phones. By the way, congratulations to Phil Kelly from Hicksville, New York. Phil,
hi,
just
Phil.
Won $250. Enjoy, Phil. Spend it well. Spend it at a local establishment that's been struggling and is back open. Let's go to Pete in Brooklyn. Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, boys.
How you doing?
This whole situation is so ridiculous to me. Rob Manfred works for the teams. And it was the teams who enabled, encouraged, or if they even purchased it, you know, were responsible for the whole thing. I mean, the Garrett Coles of the world weren't sneaking in tubs of spider goo under a trench coat into the clubhouse. The teams knew exactly what was going on.
But they encouraged it, Pete. They encouraged it.
Yeah, I know. My solution, though, Michael, and let me run this by you, see if it would make any sense, because last night was just ridiculous. Would it kill MLB to just put a quality control person in each team's dugout and bullpen to do whatever search they want before they get on the field?
Great point.
They can search for sticky stuff. They can search Altuve for a buzzer. They can search for illegal video use. You know, quality control. If MLB's got all these problems, then they should stick someone in the dugout and in the bullpen before it even gets on the field so they don't look like idiots.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And they certainly can afford it. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, $10 billion. They could have somebody in each dugout so it's not out there in front. It's not out there so everybody could see. I mean, I don't know if the end game for them is to catch somebody and embarrass them publicly, but even if you catch somebody and then the suspension is announced, it's going to embarrass them. It should be done in the dugout, out of the prying eyes of the public. It should be done in the runway. It's a joke. It's just such a clown show. They should play as they're checking. On every single Major League sound system, that's what they should play. It's like a Ringling Brothers thing. Awful. Awful. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Anthony.
You know, guys, thanks for taking the call. For a sport that seems to be going out of its way to make the game shorter, hypothetically speaking, if you had two managers who don't like each other, they could do this in a 9-inning game 18 times.
Absolutely right.
Every inning they could send out from the first to the ninth a guy to come out to check the other pitcher to see if he has this on his person. It is for a game that has, I hate to say this, I was saying this to the gentleman who answered the phone, I think baseball is probably the third most popular sport in America right now between the NFL and the NBA. And it probably won't ever get lower than that, but it is becoming almost, and I love baseball, Mike, it's becoming almost impossible to watch. And it's sad to say that.
Well, you know, Anthony, if you listen to the show, I love baseball as much as anybody. And it is a tough watch right now at times. I think it's going to get better because of the abolishment of the sticky stuff. I think pitchers will come down to earth a little bit more, be a little bit more hittable. We've seen it just in the collective batting average of Major League Baseball teams. It's gone up about 10 points. So the proof is right there. And I think that will help. But baseball is not helping itself with this. It's not. Bruce and Passaic. Bruce.
Michael, I am a fan of you since the late 80s, and I'm a big fan of Don and Peter. It's great to meet you guys in person when I get the chance to.
Pleasure.
I am particularly upset with you, Michael, because the Yankees right now are a team that is a complete mess. They are devoid of a left-handed power hitter. They are devoid, right, of their prospects in their minor league system are all tied up. They've either traded them away or chipped them in. This team, okay, I don't care what Hal Steinbrenner says, we got to be responsible now. We're not talking about successful team. The Dallas Cowboys, right, and the New York Yankees are very comparable, right? And the Dallas Cowboys could care less about any salary cap. They'll go over it. I mean, they will do.
They're not allowed.
They're
not allowed. No,
nope.
It's a hard cap.
Nope.
They're not allowed to go over. But right. Go ahead. Why are you upset with me, Bruce?
Because you were always the guy, Michael, when I was growing up. Right, you were always the guy who was sticking up for the fans that the Yankees should have a better team. And they don't.
So, wait. This has become very prolonged. Why are you upset with me?
I'm upset with you because you don't call out the Steinbrenner.
Well, you know what? How often do you listen to the show?
Every single day.
Then you must have selective hearing loss because I have taken this team to task, saying that the roster is ill-conceived, they're not put together well, the team is overly right-handed, they don't run the bases well, they can't string together five hits, the only way they win is with home runs. I don't know what you want me to do. And I'm not going to rip the Steinbrenners because I think the Steinbrenners provide enough resources, great resources, for this team to win. $207 million of a payroll is plenty enough to win. So if you want me to be the hero and take on Hal Steinbrenner, I'm not going to do it if I don't believe it. I will do it if I believe it. I don't think he's done anything wrong other than have complete trust in his baseball people. And right now, they are not living up to that trust. But it's not Hal Steinbrenner's fault.
Well, and also, come on, get your analogy straight. At least the Dallas Cowboys spend. They don't. They spend what everybody else spends. The football is a hard cap. There's no luxury tax. There's no threshold. That's it. And you go over it, you get fined. And also, how does it work? Yankees have won a championship more recently than Dallas.
That's what I was going to say. You want to use the Cowboys. First of all, it's not an apples to apples with the money. It doesn't make sense. Second of all, the Cowboys stink.
Cowboys haven't won a championship in 25 years.
Listen, I don't need to fall on my sword. These two guys that are with me, they hear every second of the show. If I worked for an organization that was sensitive, I would have lost my job already. The amount of times I've ripped this team. So this clown calls up. He says he's disappointed in me. Well, what more can I do? You want me to throw myself on the field during a game? I mean, I've told you a chapter and verse everything I think that's wrong with this team. Everything. Every single thing. Oh. I don't know what more I'm supposed to do.
And also, I sound like a broken record, but Peter, when you hear that, if you didn't know, you would think the Yankees have lost 100 games every year. God, it's so difficult. All right, you lost a tough game last night. That's a tough game to lose. They're still in the thick of this thing, for God's sake. They should be better. I agree they should be better. But don't play yourself off as a long-suffering Yankee fan like you haven't seen quality baseball in 20 years. Give me a break.
I really would like to know what somebody like that would expect me to do and say.
Well, it's the same thing with the yo-yo riders. You know, you're supposed to go on the air and just eviscerate the Yankees and talk about how bad they are. So you pacify him and then you lose your job. And also lose any credibility, too, because how bad has it been?
And it's also kind of hard to, like, please everybody. Because when you criticize the team, and then you get criticized for being anti-Yankee, and then when you praise the team when they're doing well, then you're a Yankee boy. But you know what? This is the life I've chosen. So,
you know what? How's it working out, Michael?
It's working out just
there
fine.
There you go.
And I also love all of these people, even the writers, the big writers that want you to, you know, just unilaterally attack the people that you essentially work for. I don't see anybody on the Post ripping Rupert Murdoch. No, I don't see that. I just don't see it. I don't see anybody in Newsday ripping Jim Dolan because he owns that paper or his family does. I don't see it. And we do rip the Yankees. And Don rips the Rangers. And you know what? Peter rips hip-hop. We rip people that are actually feeding our family. So, relax, everybody. We do what we do. We're honest. And everything that we say, you can tell, is not an act. It's for real. We're not trying to shock you into anything. We're telling you the truth. I tell you the truth all the time. So when you hear me talk about the Yankees, you know I'm telling the truth.
And the teams we work for, all they ask, when I worked for the Jets, working for the Rangers right now in the Garden, is just be fair. You're allowed to criticize. Just be fair. But would it make for great radio if you were to, you know, call them buffoons and idiots and should sell the team? Yeah, that would get a tremendous reaction, but you really think that's a good way of doing business?
I don't believe it. You know what?
Right.
I could truly tell you, Don, if I felt that, I would say it and I'd take the risk.
Maybe to sell the team part, but but personal attacks are never tolerated, period.
Yeah, that's one thing that I was told at the beginning of the Yes Network. You could say anything you want. You could criticize anybody you want. Just don't be personal. And I think that's fair. Just don't take personal attacks. And we don't. We don't do it even for people that we're not connected with.
Right.
We're one of the few people I defend Jim Dolan at times about certain things that he does.
But listen, I get called a shill all the time. For Cheap Heat Wrestling Podcast, even though I'm critical of WWE all the time, and talk about our opposing company, even though I work there, do it all. Everyone will still call you a shill if you're making making money with anyone.
Right.
Meanwhile, would any of them publicly talk about a place that pays them a significant amount of money?
Nah, everybody's a phony. I just hate people. I really do. Everybody's a phony. Everybody wants you to be tough. Really tough, overly tough to lose your job, and they wouldn't even go out of their way. If they work for a widget company, they'd never say sideways about the widget being wrong because everybody's a coward, and they want everybody else to be really, really, really brave. That's what you want. Do it yourself. Live your own life. I'm about as honest as anybody that you'll hear on the air. I'm about as honest an MLB broadcaster as you will find. There are homers throughout sports. You're not looking at one. So if you're disappointed in me, Bruce, take a walk. Don't let the door hit you on the backside on the way out. See ya! Disappointed in me, clown. Let's go to Paula in East Meadow. Paula. Oh, look at this.
Turn the TV down, turn the radio down, turn the dog down.
All right, Paula, you are
she's
out.
Got, I think there's a lot going on there.
Let's go to Daniel.
Where is that dog?
Daniel and Union.
Hey, guys. So I just want to say I agree with your take that this is a bad situation, but I disagree in blaming baseball. And I'm going to give you a stark comparison. Jacob DeGrom, who's the pinnacle of class, the pinnacle of everything you want in an athlete, he was the first one to get checked, and he did it like a gentleman. He smiled, and he walked off the field. Over. Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo are creating the embarrassment. It's not baseball's fault that pitchers abuse the sticky stuff, and then when they're checked...
Yes, it is their fault, Daniel. Yes, it is their fault. Yes, it is their fault. They've been given this stuff since they started. I've talked to big-time agents. They get their guys drafted. The first thing in rookie ball, they're told that use this stuff, it gives you a better grip. Please don't say that, Daniel. You're wrong. The teams are complicit in this.
But why do the pitchers have to act like prima donnas when they get checked? Act like Jacob DeGrom, have a modicum of class, get checked, then make your butt to the dugout. Why do they have to make a big deal about it?
But you know what, Daniel?
This is a problem.
I know you listen to the show every single day, so you know that I said this. The day it happened with Jacob DeGrom, I said it was disgraceful to embarrass a guy who's never done anything to embarrass Major League Baseball, has never been suspected of doing anything, doesn't even have high spin rates, ever. So I didn't like that. And we said at the beginning of the show, Daniel, what Scherzer did yesterday was wrong. Accept it. Your union accepted it. You signed off on this. Sergio Romo, what he did, I think what he's doing is performance art. He's trying to embarrass Major League Baseball into stopping doing this. I think there's so many levels of wrong, but the fact that this is being enacted on June 22nd, it's a joke.
Yeah. You can analyze whether Romo and Scherzer are wrong, but they're in that position because of baseball. So you can't just deflect it away from baseball and just blame the pitchers. And why is it being done in the middle of the season? It's so heavy-handed. It's so fat hands. It's ridiculous. So they're all culpable. And listen, there's different personalities, right? I mean, Jacob DeGrom, I don't want to sit there and say class. You know, some guys are different than others, right? Was Paul O'Neill, did Paul O'Neill lack class when he broke the bat over his knee or threw a water cooler? He was wound tight. That's how he reacted to striking out. Some guys just put their head down and they run to the dugout. That doesn't mean one has class and one doesn't have class. All right, Jacob DeGrom didn't have a problem with it. Scherzer and Romo did. And their personalities, and they showed their side of their personality. Doesn't mean one has class and one doesn't. One was aggravated by it and showed it. One wasn't aggravated by it and shows it. They're not robots. They're not all programmed the same, right?
No. And I'm going to tell you this, everybody. To you all to think that it's all on the players. You think that Spider Tack could make a living selling that sticky stuff to, what, 10 guys? They couldn't have a company. There are organizations that buy this stuff. There are organizations that actually encourage pitchers to use it because they encourage spin rate. They start in the minor leagues with kids. Coaches do. I can tell you chapter and verse. So nobody is clean in this. Everybody's
Michael,
at fault.
Well, you know what happened? You know what this is, Michael? This is bringing a bucket of water to the towering inferno. Like, they let it go. They created this beast, this monster, and now they're trying to put it back away. And how do you do that? And that's why it's so fat hands and out of control and so ridiculous is because they are so late to the party. It's a joke. So anything that they do now is going to look ridiculous because they're trying to do it in the middle of a season after it's been going on for a century. Good luck putting the fire out with a bucket of water.
I will take a brief time out, shower, towel off, the whole deal. We just booked Jeff Passan for 4:30, so he'll give us his take on this. Rick DiPietro at 3:30, some more money at 5 o'clock. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You've been waiting about it. You're tweeting about it. Here's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. LeMahieu at third, Judge in center. Sanchez will catch and hit third. Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Giancarlo Stanton. Luke Voit at first. Gleyber Torres at short. Miguel Andujar in left. Frazier's in right. Odor is at second. And Michael King will pitch against the Royals. And his opponent will be Danny Duffy. That's tonight's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Peter, what do you have?
All right. Do you guys have a pen?
Yep.
Yeah.
You may need to write some of these things down, okay?
All right.
I'm going to ask you to tell me the three shows that you would choose to see. I'm going to read to you quickly all the concerts at Madison Square Garden in 1987. You ready?
1987?
That's right. These happened. This was okay. The real calendar at MSG. Don, you ready?
Yes.
We'll start in March, and we'll end all the way in December. Here we go. Rat and Poison.
Okay.
Iron Maiden. Eric Clapton. Huey Lewis and the News. Jose Feliciano. The great Luther Vandross. Brian Adams with the Hooters. Duran Duran with Erasure. Paul Simon. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Madonna. Bon Jovi. Billy Idol with the Cult. The Cure. The Beastie Boys and Run DMC. This is a tough couple days for Don. Motley Crue and Whitesnake. Tina Turner and Wang Chung. Roger Waters, David Bowie, Whitney Houston, The Dead, U2 with the Pogues, Pink Floyd, Eddie Murphy, The Cars, Rush, Yes, and Depeche Mode.
Now we have to take three.
You got to take three of those shows in 1987.
I got my three.
All right, Michael, you go first. I know Don's going to work harder on this. Do you have an order or just general three?
General three.
Okay.
Paul Simon, Tom Petty, Eddie Murphy.
It's not bad. That's actually not bad at all. We might be in lockstep on two of them.
I'm assuming Eddie Murphy is comedy. It's not singing. Party
no, that
all the
was
time.
Probably
can't not go for 3 hours.
That might have been Raw. I think Raw was the Felt Forum, so I don't know if that counts.
But it's that tour, though.
Hmm.
In 87? My guess is it's that tour.
Yeah, no, it's definitely that tour.
I'd have to be there, then.
But Raw was filmed at the Felt Forum. That I know.
And Raw came out in 87, so that show was probably in 86. But it's still that material. All right, Don. This is tough. Yep. I mean, Beastie Boys and Run DMC, absolutely iconic. David Bowie in his absolute prime. I mean, Maiden, though. I know you're taking Iron Maiden.
This is heavily influenced on, like, there may be acts, like, I won't have Eric Clapton because I saw Eric Clapton at the Garden.
Okay.
So I won't have him on the list. Is that okay, or should I include
sure.
it? Because
no, I think you got to pick the ones that right now you would choose.
And I saw Maiden at Radio City 2 years prior to 87. And I saw him at the Meadowlands 87, that same tour. So I'm going to be motivated mostly by having not seen these bands. I would go with man, it's so tough. I'm definitely going to go Pink Floyd. I'm definitely All right. going to go Beastie Boys and Run DMC.
Okay.
And I am definitely going to go Paul Simon.
Wow, I saw Rush there calling out to you as
I'm
well.
I'm sorry, yeah. No, because I saw Paul Simon, I'll say Rush. Sorry, I didn't look that far. Because I'll go Rush, Pink Floyd, Run DMC, and Beastie Boys.
I would go Paul Simon, because that, I mean, I've seen him many times, but not in 1987. That's just prime time for maybe my favorite ever. Beastie Boys, Run DMC, and then I'm choosing between Eddie Murphy and Bowie. That is, I don't know that I can pick. I guess I'd go Eddie Murphy. If it's the material from Raw, which is my favorite comedy special of all time, I'd go Eddie Murphy.
Now, you know, there's bands I love, but I saw them, you know, but I never saw Rush. I never saw the Beastie Boys. You know, I was fortunate enough to see Bowie. There's a lot of these bands I saw, so it's tough. Rat Poison, in Motley Crue, Whitesnake, I can go to a strip club and hear that music.
That's a great point.
Those bands mean nothing to me at all.
Ballard is in the mix saying Eddie Murphy, the Beasties, Run DMC, and Tina Turner.
Ballard is simply the best.
Ballard!
Aww. Well said. Well.
That's
done.
A nice show. So that's Graceland for Paul Simon, right? That's the Graceland tour, isn't it?
Oh, sure it is, Don. Sure it is.
I mean, that's right. 87 was the height of me going to concerts, but because I was a Jersey guy, you know, they play the Garden, they probably play the Meadowlands. So I saw a lot of these bands at the Meadowlands.
You know, Paul Simon's in the book, Center Stage.
Oh, it's great.
I haven't read Paul Simon in the book yet. Well, I can't wait.
You reviewed it. Meanwhile, today I finished it. And I also need to thank Michael.
Why?
Go ahead.
Because, you know, we were having some fun about how we got thanked very, you know, we got to do it way in the acknowledgments. But Michael mentions me in the John McEnroe portion of the book.
Wow.
I was floored and honored.
What did he say?
Well, because he's talking about how John McEnroe and Michael Kay were almost our afternoon drive show, and they just couldn't get it together. And they eventually, I forget the wording, but they settled on, you know, putting me with Don LaGreca. And I thought that was terrific. It's acknowledging me as a co-host. It's acknowledging me as a piece of Michael Kay history. Michael, thank you. I was honored.
Did you cry on the toilet?
I was in bed. There's three places where I read, okay?
Right. We know where one of them is.
And one of, right, the that's throne. That's a given.
Right.
The other one is if I wake up and I'm not ready to get up, I'll start reading the book. Mm. Like if I get up before the alarm or before the kids, I might read a couple of chapters there. And the other place is the plane. But I haven't been on a plane in 15, 16 months, so I'm down to just the two.
I feel like I'm always on planes.
I'm glad that you saw it.
No, but Mike, seriously, that was special because that's content.
By the way, that's news to Michael's ears right now. He didn't even know that would happen.
Yeah, an editor wrote that.
One of the editors who Michael's not giving credit to, he's the one who wrote that.
Right.
And I got the space between the A and the G, which everybody forgets. Really.
Not me.
I like that the guy who criticized Michael earlier made it sound as if Michael's hustling people by being interviews that already happened. Like he's pawning them off as new interviews. But you know what, Michael? I got news for you. I did a little research. Turns out most of the interviews in Michael Kay's book already aired on TV. So they're not new.
You know what? And the reason I found that out, you left a little bit of a clue at the name, the title of the book, Center Stage.
Right.
Yeah, so that made me really dig down and find out, wow, these interviews have actually aired.
Well, and also, yeah, the foreword gave some away, too, because Costa spent the entire time talking about your show.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We've got little pinstripe news, little Met news, the whole deal. We're ready. We're rolling. 5 o'clock, you're going to get a chance to win $250. 4:30, Jeff Passan's going to join us. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Jeff Passan.
How are you, Michael? How are you, Peter?
You anti-Don now?
Not anti-Don. I heard Don forgot about me earlier this week.
It was a senior moment. It wasn't like you're not significant.
Don, I know your hair is gray, but you're not that old.
No, but something about this show. You listen all the time. A lot of things are said that are unexplained.
I wasn't listening. I have spies. How about
right.
That? Mm. Four listeners, one or the other.
I mean, Peter's 10 years younger than me, and he was talking about penalties of helmet. He had Derrick Henry playing for two different teams who were playing each other. I think it's the show. I think the show ages you. It devalues your brain.
The Michael K. Show.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Yeah, that happened on this show.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. You know the Mets with their injuries, it's been an issue for them. And I'm going to tell you why. And, you know, we make light of it. We joke about it. Any team that doesn't get a lineup in until like a half hour before a game or 40 minutes before a game, they're having trouble getting people together. Yeah. They don't know who's available. They don't know who they could put in a lineup. Yesterday, I think I gave the Met lineup during ENN. So that's about 40 minutes away from game time, and it just doesn't happen that often. I mean, sometimes it's gamesmanship, but I don't believe that's the case with the Mets. I really believe that you have a situation where, Don, there aren't enough healthy bodies for them to put a lineup together. And
no.
You know what? It's starting to show on the scoreboard. They can't score.
And it just could be about, like, the Conforto situation, like passing the COVID protocol, and they just aren't getting the information because he's healthy enough to play. So maybe they're just waiting on that. But, yeah, they're trying to gather information. So what if they're told, all right, Conforto can't go? Well, then who's a healthy body that can play? And it's happening around baseball, too, Mike, a lot. There's a lot of injuries, a lot of problems, and this is not the first time that we've waited on a lineup, even with the Yankees sometimes, just waiting for a long time before we know who's healthy enough to be able to go out there and perform. And, yeah, right now it's 5 o'clock. We are 2 hours away from first pitch. The Braves lineup has been up for a while, still nothing from the Mets.
Now, it's not surprising the route that Passan took with, you know, checking the pitchers. He said, you know, what are they supposed to do? And I guess there really isn't an answer what they were supposed to do. And Don's the most on point of all. You know, it should have been done before the season. And the fact that it wasn't is a disgrace. But I think that baseball was so desperate after 2 months of no offense in the sport that they had to do this now. And I just think it's an awful look. I don't think it makes baseball look good at all. And maybe we get used to it. Maybe it's not a big deal. But yesterday, to me, was an embarrassment to the sport.
Yeah. And I do think, not that Jeff is lazy, it's baseball being lazy. We have the technology. Use it. If David Cohn during a broadcast can see the spin rate of a pitcher in real time, then why can't either the opposing team or just Major League Baseball itself monitor it, say, all right, something's up here. He's retired 12 batters in a row. His spin rate is unusually high. Let's check him out. As opposed to, you know, basically frisking a pitcher who just gave up 4 runs in the 8th inning when clearly he was not taking advantage of anybody or any situation. So they made their bed. They've got a lie in it. But there's got to be a less abrasive way, a less embarrassing way to be able to root this out.
I wonder what it is. You know, I brought up the dugout thing, and he said, you know, people could go to the bathroom. You just wait in the dugout before they take the mound. They could go to the bathroom, load up in the bathroom. Every inning, you check them as before they go up the dugout steps to take the mound. And then if there's somebody else out there that's actually loading up the baseball, then let the umpire deal with that. But yeah. The person, the quality control guy or gal in the dugout, they check the pitcher before he goes up the dugout steps.
Or we could do the same thing that we talked about with regard to people running on the field. You impose a fine that's so stiff that if you're the one who gets caught, you just can't afford to do it. You say the checks are going to be random. They're not going to be daily. But if you get caught, it's $1 million. Whatever it is.
But the problem is you got to get the Players Association to agree with that, and we all see what happens with that. But you see, there's almost that in-between of, listen, we know guys are using stuff because they want to get a better grip on the ball. They don't want to hurt or injure a batter. by having the not have control of the ball. But when you see them taking advantage of it, like we talk about John Boy Media, he does a great job. He breaks down everything. All the videos available, right? Yes, and SNY tremendously produced broadcasts that have every angle of everything that's going on. Nothing gets by anybody anymore. Just have somebody monitoring it from afar. Something looks suspicious here. Radio the umpire, have him check it out. You know, we're seeing the pitcher's doing this. His spin rate is high. We're seeing that he's going to a certain area of his body way more than he usually does. Or we're seeing the catcher's doing something unusual. Or when they're throwing it around the horn, the third baseman isn't throwing it back to the pitcher right away. He's doing something. And then you deal with it as it happens. Not just arbitrarily pulling somebody aside and checking them. When like DeGrom, there's been no evidence that anything has ever been going on. Or like LaGuizica last night, where if he was doing something wrong, the opposition's not going to care. They just scored four runs off the guy.
Yeah, I think the best thing, the most prudent thing, is to watch spin rates. And if there's an artificial spike that looks suspicious, then you just radio the umpire and say, check him out. And that's easy then. It's absolutely easy.
Because, Michael, if you think about it, if somebody is using spider tech and doesn't have an unusual spin rate, then it's more believable that he is just doing it so that he doesn't lose control of the ball and hit a batter.
Right.
And if he's somebody that's using it to try to get an advantage, the spin rate would show that. And if this was 1947, Peter, we wouldn't have the technology. There's nothing you can do about it. But there's websites that tell you in real time what the spin rate is. We have the technology, people. We're using it in replay all the time.
And we started the show in 1947, so we know.
We know. There was nothing we could do about it. We always said, I wish there was a way to be able to monitor this. I wish there was a way that there was replay. We didn't have it. We were now begging for color back then.
We have a big hockey game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
On the island. It's win or go home for the Islanders. And if they win, then they go to Tampa for game 7. And they're going to try to do something that's very tough to do against Tampa. And that's win 2 games in a row. But, you know, they can't think about that. They just have to win tonight and take their chances in a game 7. What do you think their chances are tonight, Don?
I think they're excellent. I mean, you even saw last year, and they had reasons to get blown out in game 1 against Tampa last year because of the lack of rest and the travel, and they lost 8-2. And they came back and they lost game 2 2-1. You know, so this game is going to be competitive, and it's going to go right back to what the rest of the series has been like. And it was an aberration. You forget it. You kick aside and you just do what you do. Scoring the first goal is going to be immensely important. The team that has scored the first goal has won all 5 games of this series. You heard Rick DiPietro mention the Lightning are 11-1 in the playoffs when they score first. The building's going to be up for grabs because people are going to walk in there, Michael, not knowing that if they lose that game, they're never going into that building again. And it may not seem like a big deal to you or Peter or like a non-Islander fan. That building means so much to those fans. So many great things happen there. You know, 4 straight Stanley Cups, 5 straight Stanley Cup final appearances, 19 straight playoff wins. Some of the greats in the history of this sport played in that building. And it's convoluted and it's too small and it's antiquated and all the other things you want to throw out. It's their barn. And if they lose that game, it's bad enough. Even if they win the game, they don't know if they're ever going to walk back in there again. So they are going to be on it. They're going to be intense, and I would be shocked. I would be shocked if the Islanders lost with the Tampa Bay Lightning going away. Listen, you can lose. You can lose in overtime, lose 1 goal. What happened the other night is not going to happen. They could lose 2-1 is what I'm saying. I'd be shocked if the Lightning ran away with this. And I would be surprised if the Islanders lost. I think they're going to bounce back, and I think they're going to force a game 7. Their biggest problem is beating the Lightning twice. But you can't play game 7 without winning game 6. So one game at a time, and I would think that we're going to have a game Friday in Tampa to decide who goes to the
final. Ice pick, Don?
Yes. Play it.
Wow. That's what I wanted to hear.
That's not it.
It's close.
Not ice. Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Ice picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. You take a look at the odds. I like the Islanders tonight. I like the Islanders on the money line. And I'm just punching up the money line now because we're flying by the seat of our pants here. I got it at +120. So they're a dog in their own building. What a disgrace. Islanders, money line, plus 120. Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlay, props, and future bets at the King of Sportsbooks. Get the app today.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. But I know that tonight could be an iconic level of home ice advantage. This is already one of the best. Don, would you agree this is one of the best hockey fan bases in the game? And a night when they face elimination of the final time in their building, potentially?
Yeah.
It's going to be special.
Listen, anything can happen, obviously, but it's going to be a special night. I'm sure the fans are going to sing the anthem again. They're going to be all – now, do I think it affects the Lightning? No. The Lightning are a really good professional team. But I think it inspired the Islanders. They're going to bounce back. I'm sure Barry was on them.
You know, Don, when I feel like it starts to affect a hockey team? Not from the outset. Tell me if you agree. Maybe you just think I'm a fool. Not from the outset. But if, for example, you know, it's early in the third period, the Islanders are up 2-1, and they get an awesome goal to go up 3-1. There's still plenty of time left. But I feel like a building can come unglued to the point where it starts to add a level of frenetic pace into the away team where they do feel it a bit. It's not the entire game. They're not going to come out scared of a crowd. It's can the moment come up where the crowd can play a factor?
Yeah, we'll see. Remember, the Lightning know they've got a Game 7 in their back pocket anyway, and they know the stat that they haven't lost back-to-back games. So I think it's going to inspire the Islanders. Varlamov's going to bounce back. So I think we'll have a Game 7. And I'd be very disappointed. If you're an Islander fan, you'd be disappointed, right? Because they've been so good this year, coming back from 2-1 down the previous two series. You want to go out quietly. So at least force that Game 7.
Should also be pointed out here, we haven't mentioned it once all day, we get a look at a Milwaukee and Atlanta game one tonight as well, which I'm excited about.
Are you really excited?
I've gone from so disappointed that we're not going to get either Brooklyn-Philadelphia or Milwaukee-Philadelphia to starting to kind of appreciate that this Atlanta thing is something. Like, I'm kind of curious. What if Atlanta – so, Michael, let me guess. You're expecting that Atlanta comes back down to earth a little bit and Milwaukee wins like 4-2. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah.
So that's what I assume will happen. But what if we turn on game one tonight and we see that Trae Young is this special – and they get out and steal a lead or something, and we get another great series. I mean, Milwaukee's, they're not unbeatable. They're very good. They're not unbeatable. And this Atlanta team's the real deal. Andrew, you just watched Atlanta for 7 games. Do you think they can compete with Milwaukee?
Compete, yes, but I would pick the Bucks to win this series.
Easily? 5 games?
5 or 6, yeah.
I hope
you're
wrong.
Bucks are good. I think we took them for granted. They're good.
Can I also admit something right now publicly? And we'll talk more about it during ENN when we dig in and play the audio and relive the end of that fabulous Clippers-Suns game last night.
Sure.
I'd like to acknowledge that my gut reaction at first was, just for a second, was that's goaltending. I know everyone's being – there's a big separation in the world right now. Those who knew immediately you cannot have goaltending off an inbounds – and those who are hacks like myself who did not remember that, I did not realize that on an inbounds you could just guide the ball into the net.
Right, so then why do you say it's goaltending now that you know the rule?
I'm saying I didn't know in that moment.
Oh, okay.
Did you immediately know or you didn't think for a second that could be goaltending?
I didn't see it in the moment, unfortunately.
Already knew.
Yeah.
Andrew, you 1,000% knew that?
I did, yeah, but I'm not surprised that a lot of people weren't aware of that.
That's why I thought it was a great job by everybody on the broadcast pointing that out.
Yeah, it was I guess it makes perfect sense because essentially the rule just is that you can't shoot from out of bounds, so there can't be goaltending.
Right.
But the exact same play, but Jay Crowder's inbounds by a foot, that's goaltending, correct?
Oh, definitely. The ball is clearly over the cylinder, and I just wonder if now teams will look to do this more often. I mean, it's a great play. It's hard to defend because you're kind of using the rim to your advantage.
And right, you have the rim as someone to basically run a pick for you underneath.
It's also a great job by Monty Williams because I judge the aptitude of a coach by the inbound plays that he runs. That's a great inbounds play. Perfect. Perfect.
Came off a screen, so you get the screen, and then to Andrew's point, you're also essentially protected underneath by the basket. And you got to give credit to Jay Crowder, though, because just when you looked at just how much man was jumping up and down in front of him in Boogie Cousins and the awkward position on the baseline, it felt like an impossible task. It was awesome.
And I know it's so easy, especially in the NBA, to say this isn't a flashy Final Four. You know, there's no Lakers, there's no LeBron, all that. But for me, they've never won a championship in Atlanta. Milwaukee hasn't won since 71. Suns have never won. Clippers have never won. I mean, that's cool to me. It's different teams.
I agree.
You have a little history here. I mean, I think maybe it's not sexy, but for me, I just think that's cool when you have a completely different Final Four than you thought you would have, and that the team that's won the championship most recently hasn't done it in most fans' lifetime. You know, so the 70-71 season. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the most recent 70-71. So you're getting a team that you're essentially able to push a team into like elite NBA status, at least for the NBA future that hasn't been there. You have 3 out of 4 head coaches are black for the first time ever in the Final Four teams. I think it's actually kind of sexy and interesting. And fortunately, I think the national kind of casual NBA fan base has learned that the Suns are a really sexy team. They have stars. So it's not like, and by the way, and Milwaukee has an absolute star.
Yeah,
leading them.
This is not nobody's. I mean, Giannis is a star. Young is becoming a star, right?
Yeah,
if Kawhi comes back, he's certainly a star and a champion. Paul is somebody you can root for as a star. So it's not like you got nobody's in this.
Yeah, I think it's sneaky sexy, actually, Don.
That's people describe you that way.
I've heard that, too.
I think, obtainably hot. How about that? Like, hot.
High-pitch Eric thought that of you.
You know what? I forgot about that already from yesterday.
You know what this Final Four is? This Final Four is an attractive woman that you still is very approachable.
Bailey Quarters.
That you're not. She's very attractive, but you're not intimidated where you would actually go up and talk to her and maybe ask her out.
Bailey Quarters.
I don't know who that is. Oh,
yes,
Bailey from WKRP.
From WKRP.
Oh, so you're saying this is like a Marianne Final Four?
Yeah, Bailey Quarters.
Right.
I had a conversation on my podcast this weekend with Cypher Sounds, One Ep is Life, which you can find anywhere you find podcasts.
Of course.
And we were spending our time we were chatting about a lot of random things. And we started talking about how good-looking people are treated and how funny it is to kind of have conversations with really attractive women about their lives and the things that they're used to that are just not normal for most people. And then we took it a step further and talked about really, like, really good-looking guys. I mean, really, not like Don, not the ones Michael points out and they're a friend of his and you're like, I don't even find that person attractive.
A lot of good-looking guys in golf, right?
But the guys who are like, everyone knows they're handsome. Like, take a John Hamm, right? And do you realize how different those people's lives are than us mortal men? It's a different existence altogether. We'll never know.
I do.
I like a lot of guys.
Right.
Zach Britton made a comment that Rob Manfred should listen to.
Zach Britton!
He said, if you're the head of a sport, I think part of the job description is to answer questions and speak to the media occasionally.
There you go.
It's frustrating for the players that we haven't heard from him yet.
Mm.
Come on, Rob.
No, it's true. What's wrong with giving a little State of the Union, right? Your sport, am I wrong to say your sport is in crisis right now?
Yes.
From a fan perspective?
Yes.
That the only time we're talking baseball, it seems like, is to criticize it and criticize you instead of talking about, like, right now I'm watching Gausman versus Ohtani, Giants, Angels. That should be promoted, right? The fact that you might have, if DeGrom continues to pitch the way he's doing, that you might have someone win the Cy Young and the MVP in both leagues –
So let's not make it seem like nothing's going on in baseball that's exciting and fun to talk about. So the fact that we're not tells me you're in crisis mode, and he's the face of that crisis.
Well, forgive me if it doesn't get me the prospect of talking to him. Isn't that exciting to me? Considering
Well, we want him, though. Joe's just pipe down.
Well, I understand that. But when we talk to him around the baseball thing, they can tell you something absolutely crazy. There was no real answer to what happened with the baseballs. And they just kind of move on.
Now, question for you, Peter. 29 years ago, what did you think when Eric B. and Rakim released their fourth and final studio album, Don't Sweat the Technique?
Eric B. and Rakim?
Yeah.
Don't Sweat the Technique was cool. In fact, I would go as far as saying that if you heard the instrumental to Don't Sweat the Technique, it would sound very familiar to you from commercials. And a lot... Wait for the beat for it to come in. Tell me if you remember hearing this anyway. Maybe not. Wait for it.
Don't sweat the technique.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's still used in commercials to this day. So it's sort of interesting because it's not considered a truly great album for Eric B. and Rakim, but in the end, it actually has some really memorable things on it.
I have a question from Michael.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you're a Bailey fan,
yeah,
then I would think you would be a Julie fan from Welcome Back, Kotter.
No, a little too, as Joe,
wow.
As Joe Namath was a little too lean.
Wow. Who is it? I'm going to look her up. What's her name?
Well, she's no longer with us.
She was Kotter's wife, right?
What's her name on the show?
Straussman.
Yeah, Marcia Straussman, yeah. Lovely lady, but, you know. I didn't say I was a Kotter fan. I was trying to say what you were describing.
Because,
I was more of a Lonnie Anderson fan.
Well, all right, but if you're a Bailey fan, then
who's Bailey?
A Julie fan.
Bailey
no,
the rap?
No, Bailey was different than Julie. Julie was very thin.
What's Bailey from?
I never dated
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, B-A-I-L?
B-A-I-L-E-Y.
WKRP. I thought you meant Bailey from WWE. Huh, let me take a look.
Yeah, that's Michael's right. Right there with that.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
I think.
How about this? Alex Cora said it would be hard for him to ask umpires to check pitchers for foreign substances based on his involvement with the 2017 Astros.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good one.
He said he would do what he has to do to honor his job as manager of the Red Sox, but expressed discomfort with the idea of casting stones. I'll tell you what, it's hard not to like Alex Cora. There's no BS about him. There really isn't.
And that was pretty interesting from Passan that Girardi kind of embarrassed himself last night.
And called a con artist, too, by Mike Rizzo. You want to play that, Anthony, so those that didn't listen early can hear? Just call Joe Girardi a con artist.
Yeah.
Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll take a quick timeout, giving away some money when we get back. Also, your phone call. So stick around right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.